Welcome to day 31, my friends. I hope you all enjoyed a beautiful Rosh Hashanah. We are working with what you've got. We need to make up for the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, which of course I could not leave a recording. So I'm going to endeavor to do both tonight. The first one, of course, is day 31, working with what you've got. Now, I started with the story of the chess player who was presented with an opportunity with playing with somebody who wasn't as great. And the two players sat down, and the grandmaster says to the person who is not as great, "Looks like you're trying to capture my queen. Why are you doing this?" And the person who was a little more of an amateur says, "Well, you know, the queen's the most powerful piece. If I capture your queen, I'll have a better chance of winning." So the grandmaster looks at the board, picks up his queen, and he hands it over to his opponent. And the grandmaster then says, "Any other impediments preventing you from winning?" And his younger, less experienced opponent thought for a minute, pointed to the two rooks, and again, the grandmaster removed these two critical pieces, handed them to the amateur. "Anything else?" And of course, even without the queen and the two rooks, the grandmaster demolished the other individual. And I opened with this story because we've all got obstacles and impediments, but we also have certain gifts and blessings in order to meet those challenges. And what the grandmaster was trying to show was that his gift was his ability to play chess. So even if he had a handicap, even if he was missing certain pieces, he could still do it because he had enough to compensate. And that's the question. Do we have enough in our lives to compensate with what we think we're missing in life? The other story I told is a 57-year-old Rachamim Melamed Cohen, this is an unbelievable story I have in the chapter, father of six beautiful children, proud grandfather, PhD in special education, very important in the Israeli Ministry of Education, and then very soon he was diagnosed with ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, and he had a terrible, terrible prognosis and was completely, completely paralyzed, could only communicate through a program which tracks his eye movement. Yet Rachamim begins every day of his life, wakes up in the morning, and he davens, he prays, and he studies Torah. He actually continues to go to work, where he's consulted by people throughout the world on a myriad of educational issues because he mastered Photoshop, which allows him to paint with his eyes. He's able to communicate with other people literally by moving his eyeballs. He has publicly debated Israeli advocates of euthanasia. And most incredibly, since his illness, this man authored 8 books. One of those books, by the way, is Advice for People Suffering from Chronic or Terminal Illness. Now you ask yourself, how does a person who is so profoundly compromised function on such a high level? And the answer is because, like the grandmaster, the chess player rather, he can see possibilities that others might not notice. And the Torah that I shared in this chapter is from the Book of Kings and the Prophets. Famous story in the Navi, in the Prophet, of a woman who approaches the Prophet Elisha. She's totally desperate. Her husband has died. The family is in terrible debt. And now the creditors collecting on the debts from her husband are coming to take her two sons as slaves. And she's crying out for help. And Elisha the prophet answers very, very famously. He says, "Ma yesh lach babayit? What do you have in your home?" Now Elisha doesn't ask, "Do you have anything in the house to help you?" He says, "What do you have?" He's assuming there's got to be something that this woman has that he can use to help her. And this is a very, very important lesson. Ma yesh lach babayit? What do you already have in your home? What qualities, what talents do you already have? We all have problems. All of us are missing certain things. And maybe over Rosh Hashanah we were davening. We were praying hard that Hashem fill in the blanks. But for every something that's missing, Hashem gives us something else. We so often define ourselves according to our limitations rather than the possibilities. I told another story here about a student of mine. I was trying to get him to come to a basic Judaism class, like I'm always trying to recruit my students. And often I get this, "Rabbi, I'm already 28, I'm 30 years old. I haven't learned anything. I can't even read Hebrew." And I'm like, "Aren't you a lawyer? Aren't you in medical school? Or got a lot of smart Jewish people. Okay, this is not rocket science. You can do some studying and you can learn. You can use your intelligence. You can use the motivation that you have. Ma yesh lach babayit? What do you have in your home? For whatever we don't have, we've got something else. Someone may not be that tall and be obsessed with basketball, but they've got great speed and energy. Maybe we can't always provide our bosses, I said in the chapter, with the exact work that they want, but we can come on time with a positive attitude. We can't always open up that Jewish text and understand everything like we want, but we've got maybe a certain curiosity that somebody doesn't have, who maybe has the skills, but we have perhaps more of a desire and a motivation. Maybe our parents didn't raise us to observe Shabbat, and maybe we chose it ourselves. But maybe because we did that, we're even more excited about it. Someone else might have been raised with it, but not nearly as excited. So this is a very, very important thing on the heels of Rosh Hashanah, that whatever Hashem blesses us with in life, or what Hashem does not bless us with, my bracha to all of us is that we find what Hashem has given us to compensate with what he hasn't, because perhaps that's one of the reasons we're missing it. So we can learn to excel, to develop ourselves in the way we were meant to be, even if we don't have everything we need. Because Ma Yesh Lach B'Bayis, it's got to be something in the house.